This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, we're back. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison on the ones and twos. On this hump day, which is probably, I will tell you this, when you're in training camp, every day's hump day, because boy, it seems like it's a never-ending story. But I will tell you what, is there's not a better feeling in the world knowing that you got a game coming up here pretty soon. Time goes by faster as you get into football mode, and then getting used to the workload, or whatever you want to call it, of, you know, training camp 2 days. And one of the things that I guess Coach Butler was asked about yesterday, and Coach Williams, was about the physicality and the trickiness of when to go full speed, how to practice with half pads, how to practice without pads, and what it all means. You know, when you go to the pros, you got to learn how to do, you got to learn how to turn the switch on and off. So it'll be interesting to see what they say.
Yeah, here's Anderson Williams on working around that trickiness.
So we are in uppers for more than that. So we do have those times where, you know, not just tackling to the ground, but the main thing, and I believe I might say this in the spring as well, but the one thing that we start with from a defensive back play is block destruction and tackling. All right, tackling the proper way, but first getting off blocks, because I'm real big on with the way that the field is spreading and guys is throwing, whether they're throwing a flare to the running back or throwing a screen to the wide receiver. And if we don't come up and be able to defeat blocks, you're taking a -2 yard play or 0 yard gain and making it 10 or 15 yards. We never even got to worry about them throwing the ball down the field at that point. So that's where we start. And being physical, it's a mentality. It's a mentality. It's something that's learned. You know, we're not just born tough. But it's something that's learned over time, and you just got to get in that mindset that this is a physical game. And so our guys have definitely taken to that.
So yeah, he kind of hints at it right there. Again, it's just that switch. You just got to have to turn on and off.
I think the one thing he said, though, that was just important, it's something that's learned. It's a mentality. I mean, I think sometimes – I think a lot of times, not sometimes, I think people look at – fixate on the end product of players that came through Nebraska and forget that there's a growth process to it. Whether it's Jay Foreman, Grant Wisdom, Jason Peter, heck, and Dominican Sue, I know for a fact he, you know, Bo Pelini had a big, you know, influence on him that took him to the #2 overall pick. Mm-hmm. You know, so if it wasn't for Bo, who knows? I mean, granted, he's athletically gifted, but you have to get to the point where it's a learned behavior day in and day out. And, you know, the other thing I liked on it when he really looked at it is like, listen, this, we're trying to just, you know, destroy block destruction, get off, make tackles. And I liked the way he was thinking about it. Me and DP talk about it all the time. The plays that you see, like the you know, when they, whether they, you know, take a shot area, which is, you know, from the 40 to 40, or once they get, you know, a little bit past half, you know, 50 yard line, or whatever play it is, it's generally set up by 2 or 3 plays prior. And it might be because of something that the defense did or didn't do, which is didn't destroy a block or didn't make the tackle for a 2 yard gain. Instead, they got 8. Well, then now you're on your heels. The coordinator's up there is like, I had the perfect call for that play. Then you start to kind of, then next thing you know, you get beat over top. It's kind of a domino effect. And I like that he talked about that. But I think also it's something that, you know, he's said he's going to work on every day. Right. So it's a habit, right? Then it becomes what? Part of your philosophy, becomes a part of your actions. It's just who you are. So then when you talk about being physical, that's just who you are. And then you're going to do the same drills with or without pads or uppers. It doesn't matter. Because when you're, the way you defeat blocks is with your hands, right? So yes, we don't have pads on. So therefore I'm practicing against Harrison or against DP. I'm your teammate. I'm not going to ram into your shoulder with my helmet and you don't have any pads on. That's being a bad, that's being a horrible teammate. You'll hear coaches all the time, practice like a pro. So you got to know the dynamics of practice, but then also practice the same way. When you're throwing and throwing off a block, you throw off a block, rip off with your hands, whatever their technique is. And then when you're coming to make a tackle, you still gather the same way. Or if you're in uppers, we just have thud. But one of the things I'll say, though, for me, is when I played, we were once you get in the season, football or in the NFL season, you can't hit as much. It's kind of like the same thing as like we don't have as the same amount of players. You know, you're paying, roster's limited. You want to make sure everybody is healthy. As a player, you talk about working hard, right? Okay, that's fine. Everybody's going to work hard. Let's just assume, right? Everybody's going to play hard. We got practice. What are you going to do that's more than required to make you play at your best? Well, I had a routine. So Tuesdays was our day off. Wednesday and Thursday were hard work days. So I paid a guy on the practice squad that he wasn't a tackling dummy, but I put two dummies there and I would have like a sled. They had the sled right there and I'd come off and I would just work. And then we just studded, right? But I wanted to replicate defeating a block, him making a move on me, and I got to make a tackle. Then the next day, which was Thursday, then that's when I would do different drill, footwork drills, and then I would hit the, you know, we used to call it the popsicle stick, what everybody's had, right? And hit it, drive it, and then I would alligator down to the ground to simulate me finishing a tackle because we weren't able to practice full speed in the league or go live, or and sometimes you don't even go thud.
We always had, and it is that choice, right? And that's a big deal, is to figure out somebody that's willing to put in the work. But I would have a different corner after every practice, and Barry Thompson would throw, and he would stay. So you got to have a partner in crime that's going to make you work better as well. But we had one corner, Billy Knight. Billy Knight was a great press corner. So what we would do, 25 reps after practice, every kind of press coverage he could come up with that gave me trouble. Then on Tuesday, Jerry Moore was the best. He was the best hands on the body leverage corner that we had. So I would work on that, trying to get inside leverage on this dude who was a all-state wrestler, right? Them dudes.
Right.
And then over the top, we had Renzo Bertot, who was their safety, but he was the hitter. He was the hitter. So I had to get comfortable going deep middle and not conceding this safety is going to come take my head off. I need to learn how to compete. That was the difference for me because I did the extra work.
Yeah.
And then everybody else figured out, well, how's DP getting wins in these situations? Because I work at the things I'm not good at. And I had to have a teammate who's willing to come kick my tail in these one-on-ones. Do everything dirty you can do.
Yeah.
Because if I can beat you at this, I'm going to be able to get wins during games.
Yeah, I think it's just the way that you got to really embrace it. Look, you know, like you're not able to hit as much, right? Just by NCAA rules. And then the pros is just the rules, just because of the circumstances of the players. And, you know, you don't want to hit Peyton Manning during practice. You're not going to do something like that.
Yeah, they know a lot of those guys know how to tackle. It's just keeping it refined.
They do, but they don't. Because the best thing that you could do, let's just look at the numbers, right? So let's just say we're all three linebackers, right? Mm-hmm. And we are in what we used to call group work. They might call individual drills. And so let's just say we play a 4-3 or a 3-3-5, three linebackers. And so let's say we're four, you know, there's 12 of us in there. I think there's probably maybe 15, but there's 12 of us in there. And if you only have, let's just say you have 12 minutes and there's 12 of us in there, that means each of us get a minute of whatever drills, particular drills. You might be doing three different drills in those 12 minutes. So you probably are only maybe getting, let's just say everybody gets four reps of, and that's just not tackling. That might be like, okay, we're working on a hook drop. We're working on, you know, pass rush, whatever it is, right? Okay, so you got four reps. Let's just say six at the most. And let's just say two of them were for tackling. But if you go and work on it on your own and try to simulate that, and it's not a lot taxing. Now, obviously, you know, they're going to keep track of how much your workload is. But if you're doing stuff outside of practice that's the same drills, and just say you get 10 of those per day, right? And you do it three times a week. So that's 30 per week. You times that by 12, that's 360 reps. That's the equivalent of, if you play six games of 60 reps, that's six games of just tackling it. That's how you keep your skills right. It's almost, it's like free throws or three-pointers. You, during practice, and you do shooting drills, and you got four guys at the two guard or whatever, you might get 20 shots, but you got to get 200-300 makes a day. Steph Curry gets what, 300 makes a day during the season?
Mm-hmm.
500 or 600 during the offseason? So, it, tackling is a skill. The coaches can do as many drills as you wanted. I know everybody, you know, when the Seattle Seahawks, who had Hall of Famers, which people didn't know about it yet, they had Bobby Wagner, Richard Sherman, Thomas, Cam Chancellor, all those dudes, right? And then they had the whole rugby tackling, right? So you could do rugby tackling. You could do the, like how we tackle and get your head across the bow and the eyes in the V of the neck. You could do all those drills. The coaches can do 50 million drills. But how you make the drills as a player is what's going to pay off. And then the more you work on those drills, then they become part of your DNA in the game. People think like, okay, a coach needs to, like, they got to teach you the nuances of tackling. But to be a better, if you're struggling at tackling, you got to work on it. You got to work on it. Like Joey Browner was a big mentor of mine. He's like in Taekwondo and all that. He helped me learn how to get off bigger linemen in the league by doing more Taekwondo in the offseason, using their leverage against them, and then knowing when and where the hand placement, how the body moves and does it. Versus sitting up there and it's like, okay, I'm going to run into Jamie Nails, who's 350 pounds, and try to blow him up. That ain't going to work. That's career suicide and a lot of headaches.
Well, it's the learning. It is the learning. Like, how do you want to take the lesson?
That's the bigger part.
Like, how do you want to take the lesson, right? Like, you want to get it in game where everybody see it? You want to get it, right? You want to get it in the dark. And you say, listen, we could have worked on that in June. We could have worked on your knowledge of the playbook in June. We could have worked on your release in June. We could have worked on your tackling in June. We could have done all this stuff. Or you can wait till everybody here and they can stretch you out.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, teach me, coach. Okay. Well, it's when you want to learn is important.
Yeah, it is a catch-22, especially for young players, learning how to practice in the different scenarios. Full pads, full go, half pads, thud, half pads, no thud, half the practice in pads, blitz drill or whatever.
Did you dislike full pad practice?
Like, what do you mean? In the pros?
Yeah.
I'm the wrong person. Dude, when we started 2-a-days in college, yeah, it was full pads the first day. So, I mean, wearing pads wasn't a big deal. I think I didn't mind it. I just knew, you know, all right, it's about to be on. But we really didn't change, you know. You're not going to really, you know, you're not going to high-low a guy in practice, you know, with full pads. You're going to try to tackle him and get him down and all that, you know, within. But we're going to be physical, so you're physical in half pads and that. But then also, you know, there was times where we had our spiders on, you know, Thursday. We had to practice still the same way without pads. You know, you still
have same pace, same energy.
Right. You're coming. And so instead of being able to, like, hit the guy when I'm coming out and trying to gather the tackle, I'm still going full speed, gathering, and then I'm kind of simulating hitting him and tagging off. And those little things, man, I'm telling you, that last little part is what you have to, as a player, really, really focus on. Play entry.
Harrison, you pulling up if Jake is full speed running at you?
If Jake?
Yeah, if Jay Foreman's running. Yeah, he's running up on you. You pulling up or you going to keep moving?
Not moving.
Yeah.
I mean, but for offensive guys, right?
Right.
For offensive guys, you catch it in the flat, and whether you have pads on or not, you're working on setting up your blocks and setting up your moves. So it goes both ways. I'm just talking from defense, but but it goes both ways.
No, I'd love to listen. I would, again, as I just said, I would tell the safety, hey man, even on shells day, do not let me through. Like, make me compete. Make me compete for the ball. Make me compete. You ain't got to take me to the ground. You ain't got to smack me in the helmet. But you know what? Compete. Because every rep that I get where I'm not competing, I'm not getting better. I'm just not getting better.
Yeah, and once more guys, you know how to practice, you can really save your team from a freshness standpoint. And that's a maturity thing. Guys need to learn how to practice and play. But then, you know, right now, right, you know, where the Nebraska's at, or any team, and when you're in the kind of first part or middle part of your training camp, you know, you're really still, you know, really hammering on the fundamentals, physicality, and this is the grind right now.
Yeah, we're speaking of that. We do got Butler talking about the offense, defense going at each other, offensive line and defensive line. This one's asked by very own Steve Sipple.
That's a big veteran offensive line. How would you characterize those battles between the offensive line and your D line?
I wouldn't disagree with your, I mean, I don't really, it's not my job to give an evaluation of the offensive line, but I would say that they are big and they're good. And I think that's good for us. Because obviously the better competition you go against at every position across the field, the better your players are going to get. You know, I think our offensive line does a very good job of working together as a unit. And therefore, we have to combat that with how we're, you know, whether we're executing movements, whether we're executing blitzes, whether we're playing base techniques. I think going up against a strong unit like that every day can only improve that competitive stamina you just mentioned, that toughness that we're trying to build, that physicality. Because at the end of the day, I think that, you know, if practice is the hardest thing you're doing, when you go into the games, you're going to have, you know, an opportunity for success. So it's great that, you know, I really feel like we're competing at a high level at every position, receivers versus DBs, running backs versus linebackers, O-line versus our front seven. You know, I think that's been a great competitive aspect of our program over the last 8 practices that I think is just going to get us ready for the first game and then every game.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's, you know, you're going against a veteran offensive line, and you know they're big and all that, so it's only going to make your defense better. And it's no different if the roles were reversed. You know, you're only going to get better. You know, iron sharpens iron, whatever the phrase you want to have, the good on good, iron sharpens iron. You're only going to get good by, you know, going against good competition, and it's going to make everybody figure it out and then figure it out together. You know, so that's the only way.
I asked Anthony this because we played the clip earlier. Can toughness be taught?
Oh yeah. It can be taught. It can be brought out of you. You know, and there's a difference, you know, being football tough and street tough, there's a difference. Being mentally tough versus physically tough is definitely a big difference, but I think all of them can be taught and learned. You know, everybody, look, you play football, you're tough. Okay. But, you know, being able to be, you know, tough in adverse situations, or being able to impose your will on somebody, is something that you have to see it done, learn it, and then be able to execute it. And then also be able to deal with somebody, you know, maybe getting the best of you for a couple of plays or a series as a defense or whatever, or a series as an offense, and being able to rebound. But yeah, it could be taught. I mean, that's why I say everybody looks at the end product. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Cam Jurgens, even, I know he's offensive side of the ball, but his story is incredible. Right. Even when he first got to that center position, the mental toughness he had to have, because he was getting a lot of grief.
I've seen Hall of Fame guys, and I would never say names. I've seen them cry on the field. I've seen guys make them whimper a little bit.
We know, listen.
I mean, so what I mean,
some dudes who.
So it's not. It doesn't skip over anybody.
Friction doesn't care. That's its sole purpose. Its sole purpose for and I don't care what sport it is. I don't care what position it is. Friction don't care. And it's if you're a lineman, expect it. Expect it and know how to deal with it. offensive lineman, defensive lineman, linebacker. If you inside, you got a different level of friction than the folks who are outside. Different kind of friction. Different kind of friction. Listen, that silverback sitting there waiting for that edge dude, he think he got room to run. But ultimately, he got to pay. He got to meet the bouncer at the door. Like, you got like you got to meet him. You got, look, you get freedom to run up. Like, Jay get a running start. But he still know the bouncer waiting for him at the door. In the middle, Jay just know, you know what? I'm just going to meet you at the door. Whoever win, win.
I'll say, take it on. If I had to take on Larry Allen my first year versus me taking on Larry Allen in my fifth year, I got him in my fifth year versus the first year. So you just, it's a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys maximize it and some guys, but it is a learned behavior. And guys will either welcome it or don't welcome it.
First time you have to tackle Lawrence Phillips is different than the 15th time. Commitment to.
And are you willing? Are you willing to commit?
Right.
Yeah. It's not even that. It's not
the commitment,
even
Lawrence, right? The first time ain't. Energy.
First time with Corey Schlesinger. Okay. I will tell you, I questioned, what the hell am I doing? I was looking around. Where is Coach Steele and where is Coach Samuel? And when we did inside drill. Okay. And this is when we had 50 million stations out there. So he was taking all 12 reps. I'm looking where Quinn Holgrave has it, bro. You better get up in here. Right. But then as you start to become hardened to it, and you start to be able to deliver a blow back.
And it was Nebraska advantage, right? That asked Miami, you know, they were there the first three times. Corey went to the middle.
Corey.
Corey kept, look, the lead and the pencil stayed on, boy.
I used to look at him and be like, dog, you 250 pounds and you don't got no fat. You got that big old head and he loved to hit. He breaking face masks and all that stuff. This dude crazy.
Those pictures, when you look at we age a lot better today too, I think.
Because
look
you guys
at some of those guys.
That's
because
you never climb trees or do anything.
No. What is he talking about?
You guys ain't done
What are you talking
you
about?
You ain't got no calluses on your hands.
What are you talking about? Listen,
but you guys age quick.
Us, because we did stuff.
Yeah, I'm not saying you didn't.
If you look at the pictures.
I'm just pointing it out.
Back in the day.
Yeah, when you look at the pipeline, you're like, there's no shot. You have like,
you know, we did stuff. Yeah. We did.
I was watching a game. I think it was like,
let Bruce Smith hit you six times in a row.
It was like an old game in like 1983. It was like Penn State against Notre Dame or against Nebraska.
That's a great.
Them dudes looked 45.
You know those pregame
pictures.
The picture of Matt Millen and company.
Full mustache, beard.
They look like uncles.
Neck swole. Definitely is a difference. But I just think, you know, toughness is I just think everybody sometimes is quick to say, you know, some guys are tougher than others, right? And some guys are welcome into it, but I think you know developing it more on the mental side now is probably harder because right now kids and just across the board they like to do it only under the circumstances that is advantageous for them. Mm-hmm. So that
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You could talk to them about it when it's either it's easy or they're winning, or you could say, okay, we just need you to be mentally tough. Don't worry about not starting. When we play, your mental toughness is going to be tested. Before you even think, like, you're not like Coach McBride ain't letting you out on the field until he knows, like we said about Dom Capers, until he knows you're mentally tough and he can trust you, let alone. I always talk about the time me and Mike Minner was going to fight. where he just didn't have to worry about the coach. Where he going to try and see where you're at? Because guys want to, we call it checking your temperature.
I cannot fathom my mother or stepfather calling the school to talk to the coach. I would rather go to the dentist than have them. Hey, your mom called. No, she didn't. No, she no. Work it out.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on, work it out. That's that man's job. Work it out.
I remember the first time I called my dad. Like, yeah, I might come. He's like, well, you ain't coming here. I was like, can I go somewhere? You ain't going there either.
He said, what you calling me for?
He told me, my dad told me, he said, they'll call me back, man. He's going to call me back talking about something else. or don't call me back. And then Harrison, what I was admitting, he just hung up the phone. That was it.
What you calling me for? What is your coach's
name? Oh, man, I felt, hey, Harrison, like you'd be in the door. Hey, I was in the dorms over there, like in Shram over there. I felt all alone. Hey, you ever see in the movies when they start to whimper a little bit, bottom lip start whimpering? I felt all alone.
Too funny, bro.
He said, hey, man, my dad said, hey, man, don't call me back no more with this. He said, if you go call, talk about something else, but you ain't going. He's like, you don't have nowhere to go. Bye,
bro.
Click. Just like that, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk about our boy, though. Now we're going to jump to the NFL. My man, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones and the Cleveland Browns. And then at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, obviously, I want to get DP's thoughts on it with the merger between ESPN and WWF. I have a question / statement. Want his thoughts. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, we're back, 4:30. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, I almost called you Austin. Old school. On happy hump day on a Wednesday, but old school, I was going to say, fits my man Jerry Jones to a T. I mean,
yeah, he's not changing with the times.
No, I think Jerry, I think he's doubling down. The best part is he's like, we had a handshake agreement. Just say you don't like his agent because he got pigmentation in his skin. Just say that. Period. Like, you talking about in this day and age, you and Michael Parsons are going to get together. First of all, he's going to get paid $45 million a year. So you're trying to tell me you just got a napkin? Because Jerry Jones is one of them dudes. This is how they negotiate. I'll never forget this when I was with Bob McNair. And we were doing the contract or whatever. So So Jerry Jones do that on the napkins. Okay, I'm going to give you 4 years, $45 million a year. I guarantee you, $135 of it. Cool? Okay, cool. We'll worry about the details later.
Yeah, that part.
And so what you going to tell them? The check's in the mail? Mm-hmm. Just show up to camp with no contract in black and white? He trying to negotiate like it's 1940. You know what I'm saying? He out here acting like you making handshake agreements, but all you're doing is not paying guys on time and end up paying more. But you're trying to say you're fiscally sound. I really think, to be honest with you, since we will talk about WWE, I think Jerry Jones is doing this for the ratings. I think he knows how to create marketing to Dallas. I think he has every intention to pay Michael Parsons. He already told you he ain't trading him, but everybody keeps asking him, and he can't tell you that Dallas is going to win the Super Bowl because they were garbage last year. They had so garbage, they had to fire the coach and get a new coach. And so instead of the coaches, Coach Schottenheimer dealing with, what's it like to be a coach, first-time head coach, all they're talking about is Michael Parsons. It's brilliant marketing. It's bad management because your star player, Michael Parsons, isn't in training camp. He isn't practicing. So with limited reps, limited full pads and all that, you want to get your bang for your buck. Well, at what point in time you say, okay, the fun games are over. Let's get him into camp, get him ready for the season, considering that you got to try to make the playoffs in the first year of Schottenheimer.
So here's the thing that was asked, and I'll answer it in full. I was asked question. Has a team with a holdout ever won a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Emmitt.
That's the only one right. ever. And that was in 1993.
And it was like the middle of the season, right?
One ever. Because people understand at its core basis, the people that you would take into the late season negotiation are the ones you need to sign first. You get that done. You always have to get that done. Why? Because of the distraction. This is a leader. Anybody that's holding out believes they're a leader. And if you believe you're a leader, you can't hold out. You literally can't hold out. Because if I'm, let's say it's Sam Cowell. He's the alumni leader, like the player association leader and the defensive captain. And if he doesn't show up at camp and goes through 2-a-days with Jay Foreman, Jay Foreman is going to look at him with the side eye far too often. Even though Jay understands he's doing business, Jay also understands, hey, look, man, I just told everybody how terrible these 2-a-days are and how ridiculous, how strong, mentally tough I have to be to get through it, how we have to build through it. And I got to believe that you're going to be where you need to be when we face Miami. Except, you're not here.
Yeah.
You're in the air conditioned chilling. I don't know what you're doing. You and your kids in the pool playing. I'm out here getting run over by 350, you know, House Ballard up here leaning on me and you in the air conditioned. So it's always a little different.
Yeah.
When you tell me that a star player holding out, yes, you do if you're doing business. But if you're under contract, if you are under contract, and Micah is under contract, he literally, no, you agreed to it legally, yeah. A legally binding. So are you of your word?
No, that ain't, no.
I'm asking.
You ain't getting no love right there.
I speak from the outside in. I'm not speaking as a
because on the flip side, it's a mutual contract, and they'll look at the Raiders. They'll cut you whenever they feel like it. This is business. Now, it's commendable that he's there, right? Now, mind you, you don't want to get fined and all that. So he's doing as much as he can. Now, really, when you think about it, Emmitt Smith's the only one that's been able to hold out, and Dallas was the best team, obviously, but Emmitt was the guy that, you know, stirred the pot. Whereas, like, with Michael Parsons, you knew you've known you've had to pay this man for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, they drafted him. He was getting realistic comparisons to Lawrence Taylor. He doubled down on it the next year, so he's even better his next year. Was dominant last year, dominant again, and then you're like, okay, well, we got you in for $21 million, which is nothing to like turn your nose up at. That's still less than half of what TJ Watt got, and he's younger, so you know you got to pay this man $45 million. So why haven't you paid him?
But you don't have to.
Okay, you don't have to. That's fine.
You don't have to.
Okay, you don't have to. But and you should. But then,
are they going to win the Super Bowl with him or without him? Neither.
No, well, they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
They're
if
not
they
gonna
win the Super Bowl, it's only going to be because Michael Parsons.
They are not going to win the Super Bowl.
No, they're not. Because Dallas, okay. We can't have that.
So
we can hold on. First of all, we cannot have that.
Right. Here's the thing.
The world cannot have that.
If you aren't going to help me win as the owner, if you're going to help me win the Super Bowl, cool. We can have that conversation. But if you're not gonna, if we just plan to play and to make money, paying you an extra $20 million ain't me make a smart business decision. I'm making a terrible business decision. That is a bad business decision. Somebody else can pay you. If somebody else want to pay you, cool. Go get yours. Jason Foreman retired. He can go out here and hold bag for a little while for the next 2 weeks, and we get the same result. Harrison, you're going
to
win.
I would have to pay them to do that.
You would get the Cowboys would get the same result with Micah Parsons as without. As they used to say, you can come here and win a Super Bowl with us, or you can go somewhere else and watch us.
So you're saying the only time that he needs to hold out, what you wouldn't, he'd be a free agent?
If you are, be a free agent.
He can't.
Sit out the year.
No, he'll come back week 10.
No, sit out the year if it means that much to you.
No, it does.
If you're willing to give away 10 weeks worth of salary, Harrison, that is a statement. That means you make bad decisions.
No, well, here's the deal: is he's going to sit out 10 to make sure he gets vested, so there's no way Dallas can franchise him again. It's not you're acting like this is an option for him.
It is an option.
It's not an option.
He a grown man.
Okay, so say he goes out there and say he gets hurt. Then what?
He's protected.
No, why? He's not.
Legally, he's protected.
No, he ain't protected. He ain't protected after this year. He loses value.
How much of this guaranteed contract is there? It's football. As Jay Foreman says, we in the violence business.
That's part
of the deal.
Right. And he's been violent.
That's part of the
deal.
Okay,
I ask you this. Has he outperformed his rookie contract? Has he been everything and then some that they thought that when they drafted him? The answer is yes. He's getting paid on what he did. He's done everything he needed to do.
No, he got a signing bonus.
Yeah.
What was that for?
College.
Remember these conversations, Jay Foreman and I had?
He got drafted based on his potential. He's earned that, and then he's outperformed it. So it's time to pay.
He's outperformed
his rookie contract.
He's not in his rookie contract.
Yes, he is.
He is in the fourth year of his.
He's in his fifth year option.
Fifth year.
That you, Jerry Jones,
option
that you option. You picked up
option. You didn't have to sign the option.
No, hold on. He didn't have a choice when you draft him. It's your option to pay him, or guess what? You lose Michael Parsons to free agency. So you chose to bring him back at 20.
So who signed it?
You signed the rookie contract. So he ain't supposed to be a rookie contract anymore?
You signed it. You signed it.
Yeah, but he didn't sign for you to not pay him what his worth
then
is.
Then get back. You know what you do? Stay in college. Stay. Look, go on back to Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
Hang out. Get your workouts in. And wait. And wait for that money. Or you can play football, which is what you say.
He'll play football eventually, but he needs to get paid.
I know, but he can get hurt sitting at his crib.
Yeah, but he's going to get hurt at down Dallas's dime.
Well,
and I know Michael Parsons should be getting paid. It's the business. Yes, he's under contract. Sure. That in theory, that is reality. But that doesn't mean that, okay.
Look, I want every player to get their money, first of all.
So give him his money.
I want every player to get this money. But I also understand from the business standpoint that, listen,
You think this is good business
every
for
year,
Dallas?
Well, we had this discussion about Dallas last year with Dak Prescott.
The year before? It was CD last year.
Right.
Dak Prescott's the year before.
Every year.
And Zach Martin.
Every year.
It hasn't worked out. So let's not keep doubling down.
Did Tom Brady ever hold out?
First of all, that's Robert. He didn't have to.
There's some places. The evil empire does terrible business. We know that. That's why we love laughing at them so much. And he loves the attention. Jerry Jones is a drama queen. And we know that about him.
Yeah.
We know it. So why would I fan his flame by giving him the attention for making bad business decisions? If you know you're going to pay him, because we know that he makes bad business decisions all the time.
Leave Jerry alone, man.
So you know what? And
he said, "Ain't nothing to lose sleep about."
But of course he is. Lizard eyes. Them eyes don't close no way anyway.
He got his shades.
Those
on.
Eyes don't close. You know, come on. You know he can't close them eyes to go to sleep. But it's the same thing. Commanders are going through with Terry, and I have the same feeling. I want Terry McLaurin to practice. I also want him paid. I don't get a say so in either. But as a fan, I want him there. But as a businessman, I understand, bro. These, unfortunately.
As a fan, would you still show up for a team that notoriously doesn't pay their players on time?
You know the answer to that?
Hold on. And I'm talking about pay the players. It's different than, I think there's a big difference. At least I'd like to think from a fan standpoint. You know, in general, what players have earned their contract, what players are good players in general. You can look and watch. You've watched Michael Parsons dominate.
One of the top 10 players in the country.
I'd hope as fans, you know, it's business of like, well, you're under contract, you need to play. But when butts stop going in this stadium and then you're losing your kind of stronghold branding wise.
Yep.
At some point in time, I'm thinking for Jerry Jones, well, if I have a limited amount of time left, let me try to be more attractive to free agents. Let me be actually more attractive to agents that might want to have players come to Dallas for a state of Texas discount because there's no state taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's Dallas Cowboys and the Las Vegas Raiders and I'm an agent, I don't even want, if I have Jeremiah Smith, you ain't picking him because it's too much. Because at that point, you're putting my client at risk.
I'm going to flip this on Jay Foreman for the next segment. and I'm going to ask this question. Remove the Dallas Cowboys, remove Michael Parsons. Let's just say it is an organization and its best player. Fair?
Yeah.
Let's call it NIL.
It's like Tennessee with old boy Nico. Is that what you mean?
Right. Are we rooting for the player again? Or are we rooting for the system to get it right? What are we doing?
What do you mean, like if a player
wants best player in any program in the country
is holding out for more money?
Is holding out for more money because they've, you know what? My freshman year, I was the best player and most important player on the team. So, hey, man, I shouldn't have to be working under that NIL deal.
Get that money. Get that Quan.
I just
if need they that. Paying
Harrison, I just
if they paying, get it.
I just see the slope.
And then give me some.
I see the slope that we're headed on. That's all I'm saying.
I don't like it because I don't like Jerry.
get that.
I don't like the Nico situation either.
Oh, that is a hill.
But I would ask you this: do you think Nico really earned that money? Do you think he earned the right not to show up places?
Do you think he earned the right?
During the college football playoffs, to try to almost not show up because he wanted to renegotiate. He said it's only during the regular season.
No, he didn't have the continuity.
I would say
compared to Micah Parsons' continuity, I'm 1 year with Nico Iamaleva. I'm up need but, a little bit more.
I'll take that question.
All right,
yeah. I gotta go back to first of all because I have a sneaky feeling that he's referencing when I was in Houston. That's the problem. That's the problem, Harrison. I gotta jog my memory. Let me get on the internet.
Don't go anywhere. Old school will be back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison on 1s and 2s. DP did some digging, Harrison, on me when I was in Houston.
I'm curious.
If it would be hard for it, you know, like I understand, like what I think. What I see both sides with the business side, you know, Terry's side. It sucks because it's two different situations, but they actually are exactly the same. Both of them are under contract. Both of them are underpaid. They've outperformed it. They've performed well under not ideal circumstances, meaning they weren't winning a whole bunch of games. Now, granted, the Commanders, you know, got busy last year, but before, you know, Scary Terry was the only thing over there with a heartbeat and a pulse, you know, and so he's, you know, been a good employee, you know, and same with Michael Parsons. And so I see it both ways. I just don't understand why they're so hesitant to pay the guy. Now, number one, both of them are good in the locker room. Both of them, as of right now, are excellent in the community, especially Scary Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons might be a little bit out there because remember, what people don't understand, this is what gives more credit to Micah Parsons and who you really push your chips into. You got rid of DeMarcus Lawrence, who actually was the leader in the clubhouse, and turned it over to Micah Parsons. So now it comes time to pay him. You knew he wanted to get paid before training camp. You know, especially he wanted to get paid after TJ Watt got paid. So what are you waiting for? And I do understand that you're under $20 million and you can't turn your nose up to $20 million. It's kind of like what Saquon Barkley. Well, listen, here's a perfect example. Saquon Barkley did the same thing. He was holding out. They said, we're only going to pay you the franchise. He performed well. And then they underbid him, and he went to the rest is history. So from a player's perspective, there's no advantage to going and doing the right thing when you know you've outperformed it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. And then from a big picture standpoint, if you haven't heard about the Christian Wilkins situation with the Raiders, they're just finding a way, take the personal playing around too much. And I will tell you this about a locker room in the NFL. Everybody in there plays around. You got a lot of time, you know, play around. But then also, everybody knows when it's who likes to joke around, who you can joke around with, and who you can't. Everybody is very respectful of their space, their time, their routine, and their level of silliness that they will deal with and they won't. Every locker room. Now, him on the other hand, I think that's the focal point. I think the bigger point is he had a foot injury. He didn't want to get a second surgery. They wanted him to. So now they're trying to get him, get rid of him. And this was a cherry on top.
I want him to have his money because he's earned it, right? Yeah. The value of it. But it may not come until next year. And guess what? He'll get overpaid next year. Whatever he gets paid next year, he'll be overpaid. He'll be overpaid. No matter what.
Right? Because if somebody trades for him, they're going to have to pay.
Right. He'll be overpaid, right? Yeah. And the next year, he'll be overpaid. Even if he's the best player and that team wins the Super Bowl title, he'll be overpaid. Because everybody on par. You think Mr. White's going to help the Steelers win a Super Bowl? No. Nope. Not going to happen. Dak, CeeDee Lamb, best receiver. No.
See, I think people don't understand the timing of when you get paid tells you where you're at. When TJ Watt is getting paid off past performances, right? You're not getting paid off of potential. But when you get paid early, when they pay you like 2 years before your contract is up, that's on potential. They're trying to project number one, what you're going to cost, and then what you will be. These guys are at the point where they probably outperformed it, and then they want to get paid.
I'm just going to look and see what Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley getting paid, because I guarantee it ain't what none of them numbers that them other folks are talking about.
No. Oh, but I guarantee if I'm Scary Terry, I'm looking over there at Brown, because Brown got paid again. I need that.
Things to know.
We need that to happen, Harrison. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what we need to do is go up and get a break. We're going to come back and talk ESPN, WWE, and what that means for the bigger thing or whole landscape of college football, NFL football, but sports entertainment in general. Jay Form and DP Harrison will be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.